previously on Heroes.
You stuck your nose where it didn't belong.
So did you. You stole something from me.
You mean this?
Get out!
Why are you doing this?
I work for a guy. I find stuff, he pays me.
Where is Kaito's part of the formula?
The formula is gone. Stolen.
Someone is manipulating us. Someone powerful, and they must be stopped.
I will find them and stop them.
Actually, you're the only one who can.
Cheerleader sleepover retreat? What was that all about?
That was about buying some time.
Meet your new partner.
Am I being replaced?
Just until I find his weakness, and then I'm gonna kill him.
I've dreamt the future, Gabriel. I've seen how important you are, but only if you can master your urges.
My ability is not just understanding how things work. There's a hunger. I couldn't control it. It turned me into a killer.
You have it now.
What did you do to me?
DNA manipulation.
I've hurt people. You need to take it away.
I can't.
You're just gonna have to trust me, Nathan. You must help her.
Nathan swoops down and catches Stacy in her suicide bid. Now they're in bed together. He's wide awake.
It's all happening so fast. My life is a speeding train and I'm not sure where it's headed. One thing is certain, I've been given a second chance. Touched by God, and I've got to believe that he has a purpose for my life.
Peter attacks Sila.
So why am I filled with self-doubt? Plagued by demons. Real and imaginary.
Claire has a gun.
Frightened by the challenges ahead and haunted by the ghosts of my past.
Hero and Ando dig up Adam.
Does God know what I am? Do I? Am I an angel or a monster? A hero or a villain? And why can't I see the difference?
Chapter 5, Angels and Monsters. Linderman appears to Nathan while he opens the fridge.
Did I startle you?
Drink.
Nathan offers some milk.
That's right, because you're not really here, are you?
Whatever makes you happy, Nathan.
You know what would make me happy? Some straight answers. Like how you knew she was in trouble.
You mean Tracy?
You said she needed my help, that she was my path. Next thing I know, she's taken a header into the Potomac.
And you were there to save her. Now I suppose you're wondering why. I mean, was it luck? Was it coincidence? Or perhaps guidance from a higher power?
Linderman wanders off around the kitchen, leaving Nathan uncertain.
You're not a messenger from God.
Moses saw a burning bush. Mary heard the angels. God came to Samuel in his dreams.
And I've got a dead mobster telling me he's the voice of God.
You think the answers to your questions are somehow outside of you, Nathan, but God resides within. The answers will come.
Nathan? Who are you talking to?
Nobody. Just clearing my head.
She's unconvinced. A police car cruises a park area. Nearby, Mahinda jumps a black man with dreadlocks.
Yo, what up? What you need?
What do you got?
White lightning, bass, angel dust?
You need something to take the edge off.
All right. Yeah, just a thing.
I don't need your drugs. I need you.
Sila to Peter.
You have the hunger. You're just like me.
I'll never let myself become you.
You already are, brother.
No! I can't be you!
Peter, stop! You don't know what you're doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing. When were you gonna tell me that Siler's my brother? What other secrets are you hiding from me, mother?
Having broken Siler's neck, Peter stalks round Angela.
Tell me your secrets! Or I'll rip open your head and I'll take him out myself.
No!
As Peter starts splitting his mother's skull, Siler rises up, resets his neck, and sends Peter crashing into the cell's reinforced glass with a wave of his hand. Siler rushes to Angela's aid.
Are you okay?
Peter's unconscious.
Is he gonna be all right?
Yes. I'll make sure of it.
Clutching her wounded forehead, she crouches by Peter, while Bennett appears outside the cell and signals for Sila to join him with a jerk of his head. Out in Level 5's observation corridor...
We got a lead on a new target.
You want me to come with you?
Don't make this harder than it already is.
Bennett smiles as Sila follows. Sandra's going through the files of inmates who escaped from Level 5.
God, oh God.
Sandra?
Crap.
Meredith.
What's going on?
Claire lied. There was no cheerleading retreat. Now she's not answering her cell. I'm so dang stupid. She's obviously gone after one of them. It's all she's been talking about, wanting to help. No thanks to you.
Okay, calm down.
How can I be calm? Look at them. They're monsters.
Claire can't get hurt, remember?
Oh, no. How about this guy? Stephen Canfield. He creates vortexes, makes people disappear forever. Even Claire.
All right, we'll find her.
Meredith helps, and after flicking through several photos of austere men, she pulls out the file of a bearded man with rotund features.
Oh, no. What is it, Meredith?
We just better hope it's not him.
Why? Who is he?
His name's Eric Doyle. He's a horrible man. You don't even want to know. No, his place isn't too far from here. I'm going to start by looking for her there.
I'm coming with you.
Sandra.
She's my daughter.
Can you do this?
Meredith ignites a flame in her hand, then snuffs it out, along with Sandra's hope.
I'll have Claire home before you know it.
As Stephen paces out of the house, Sandra returns to Stephen Canfield's file, his stoic expression and dark eyes staring out at her. He's on his mobile.
You think I wanted to leave my family? I had no choice. Just tell me where they are. You have a sister, damn it, you know where she is. I got the right to see her and my kids.
In an empty shell of a home, he thumps a breakfast counter and then rips open a swirling vortex with a wave of his hand. It swallows a stack of mail before closing.
Hello? There's someone there?
A figure brandishing a stun gun.
Behind you.
Claire fires the electrodes into his chest and he collapses.
Gotcha.
Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Still lying in his unearthed coffin, Adam has Hero in a chokehold.
I need your help.
My help? You buried me alive. Why in bloody hell would I help you?
Japanese treason.
I told you this was a bad idea. Adam Monroe is a villain.
But he knows who the bad guy is.
We can't trust him. He killed your father.
I know, but a hero must take risks and make sacrifices to save the world.
He turns to the coffin.
I will give you another chance if you behave. Okay?
Okay.
Adam's freed.
We are searching for a formula that...
Formula? I knew it would come back to bite them in the ass someday. Even I told them to destroy it.
So you know who would steal it?
Maybe. If I tell you, what's in it for me?
When we finish our mission, I promise to put you in a more spacious cell.
With a window.
And a vent.
Forget it.
Okay, back you go.
Wait! You little Japanese Nazi! Let me think! Just off the top of my head, I'd say your villain is Angela Petrelli.
She asked us to find the formula.
I see. Well, I'm fresh out of ideas.
Fine.
Wait! I know how to find your big villain and get you your formula. I have a plan.
Nah.
In the foyer of the Pinehurst Company offices, Mr. Linderman to Daphne.
How do you feel about recruiting?
Recruiting for what?
An organization for a new world order.
She takes a seat.
Daphne, you and I are standing on the precipice for real change. A world where people like you are embraced, your gifts acknowledged and respected, not ignored. I mean, you'd like to be part of a world where you can really be somebody, wouldn't you?
As long as I get paid.
To passers-by, Linderman doesn't exist.
What do I have to do?
There are others like you out there. Just invite them to join us. Everything you need to know is right here.
He points to a set of blue files on the seat beside him, and she takes a look. The first is a dossier on Knox, the second, Mohinder.
These are some pretty nasty people. I don't like getting my hands dirty.
They've merely lost their way. It's time for us to give them purpose.
A hint of his scheming smile is reflected in her expression. Whilst crunching an apple, a besuited Silas tuning a car stereo. Bennett's driving.
Just sit.
Silas shakes his head.
Just so you know, this was her idea, not mine.
You mean my mother?
If it was up to me, I'd have left you to rot.
No forgiveness, is that it?
You terrorized my daughter, you killed countless others, including a target that had valuable information.
Rehabilitation doesn't happen overnight. I am trying.
I understand. Killing is just in your nature.
Canfield comes too.
What's going on?
What do you think? I'm bringing you back to level 5 where you belong.
Please, don't do this. I need to find my family.
From the looks of things, they're long gone.
What do you expect? Your company dragged me away in the middle of the night. I didn't even get to say goodbye. They put me away for almost 2 years. My family must think I abandoned them.
That's what happens to people like you. They put you away so the rest of us can be safe.
I made one mistake. I did like the others. So quick to judge. You want to believe I'm a monster?
You killed someone. You are a monster.
You're wrong. And you need to listen.
He rips another vortex, which swallows her stun gun before winking out. Mohinder drags the drug dealer into his lab and down some metal steps. Leaving a trail of blood, Mohinder unceremoniously hauls the corpse into a large curtained-off side lab and onto a trolley that's been covered in a white sheet. He then lifts his own sweater up and uses a mirror to check on the scale-like shards protruding from his back.
Mohinder?
He goes out to give her a hug.
Hey there.
You didn't come home last night.
What's this?
Flyer. It was stuck in your door. Did you know your neighbor was missing?
Mark, the neighbor he attacked.
I'm getting closer, you know. This next stage in my research, it could be the answer to taking away your ability.
She turns from him.
I can make you happy, Maya.
While he's nuzzling her neck, she notices the trail of blood and has to disguise her horror.
I should let you get back to him.
She moves past the flyer, takes her handbag, and hastily leaves. Mohinder takes the flyer next door, discarding it on a shelf unit beside a lamp, which he turns on. The drug dealer's corpse is in the middle of his lab, but encased in an amber web-like cocoon on the far wall is the missing Mark Spately.
Your company's got it all wrong. I never meant to hurt anyone.
Canfield snatches Claire's phone.
Who's this? Partner?
I don't have a partner.
What are you talking about? One of us, one of them, right? Company policy. You're not with the company, are you?
Canfield produces a Pinehurst Company business card from a desk drawer.
Are you with them?
She shakes her head.
Who the hell are you? Come in here, shoot me, hold me hostage. You know about me?
I read your file. You killed a man.
That was an accident.
Your neighbor, right? Over what? A broken lawnmower?
Canfield turns to her.
We got into an argument. It got heated, I overreacted. Next thing I knew, he was gone.
He sinks to his haunches against the front door.
I didn't want to hurt him. They locked me away. No lawyer, no trial. I love my wife. I love my children. I just want to see him again. Hold him. Even if it's for the last time. I just want to be normal.
Claire hangs her head in sympathy, but Canfield gets back on his feet.
You don't understand. No, just go.
Claire's mouth opens in surprise, and she frowns.
You're letting me go?
Yeah. Just give me a head start before you call your friends at the company.
She doesn't leave.
Maybe I can help.
He turns to meet her earnest expression. Nathan to Tracy.
You tried to kill yourself. How do I know you're not going to do it again?
What do you want from me, Nathan? Undying gratitude? Thanks. You're my hero.
I want to know what you were doing on that bridge.
I can't talk about it.
They leave the bathroom.
Why not? Who's going to understand better than I am? Just tell me. What happened?
She turns to the besuited Nathan in desperation.
I killed someone.
Who?
A reporter. He threatened to run a story saying that I was Nikki Sanders when there was no way that I could reason with him. I got angry. I reached out to grab him. Froze him. He shattered.
It was an accident, Tracy.
I need to turn myself in.
That's probably not a good idea.
What are you gonna tell them, Tracy?
Who's gonna believe you?
I can fly, but I can't talk about it.
Well, then I'll show them.
You can't do that. Listen, I've been there. I understand. I wanted to tell the world. I can call a press conference.
What happened?
I got shot. I died. And then I saw God. And I truly believe with all my heart that he's got a higher purpose for us.
You think God gave us these powers?
If he didn't, who did?
A doctor in Reseda, California.
Nathan's left looking disturbed. Claire's going through Canfield's file with him.
This is the last number the company has for them. It's the same area code, so they can't have gone far.
Thanks, Claire. For everything.
Canfield holds a phone to his ear.
Hi, baby. It's me. Wait, don't hang up. Look, I know you're scared, but I love you. I need to see you and the kids. Well, then meet me anywhere. The Griffith Park Carousel. Great. I can't wait. I know. Hello? Hello?
What happened?
We were cut off.
Bennett storms in, gun drawn, then stops in shock.
Claire?
Dad?
He's your father? You set me up?
No, I swear.
Back off! Drop the gun! Let go of the girl!
Dad, what is he doing here?
Let her go, Canfield. You don't
stand
a chance.
Last warning.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's not over yet. Hold on to something.
Stand back. I will shoot. Do it.
Canfield opens a large vortex in the center of the room and escapes. The swirling void disarms Bennett and Siler, who cling on desperately to pillars, as everything else freestanding is sucked into oblivion. She's just out of Bennett's reach, but Siler risks his life, nearing the vortex in order to grab Claire's hand, just as she loses her grip of some railings.
Fire! Let go!
Bennett looks in awe at Siler's heroics. The void sparks and disappears. Claire snatches her hand from Siler's.
You okay?
Peachy.
While Siler dashes after Canfield, Bennett goes to hug his daughter.
Thank God. You okay?
Target's gone.
Oh, you can't be far.
The two agents share a look.
Claire, where did Mr. Canfield go?
Leave him alone. He doesn't want to hurt anyone.
This isn't a game. He's very dangerous.
Who are you to talk? Bringing him here? Tell me you're not working with him after what he did to me!
Claire, you hate me, I understand. When I touched your hand, I could feel the pain that I caused you, and I never meant for you to be-
Shut your mouth! Now, you don't get to talk to her.
Ever. Look, we'll talk more about this when we get home, but right now you have to tell me where Mr. Canfield went.
He's not a killer. He's having problems like I had problems. He didn't have you to help him.
All right. Okay, then just let me talk to him. If what you say is true, we'll make other arrangements. You can trust me, Claire. I wouldn't send anybody to level 5 that doesn't belong there.
She glances at Sila, tears welling.
It's at the Griffith Park Carousel.
In a dimly lit bar, Adam leads Hero and Ando in.
This is your plan? Go to a bar?
I haven't had a drink in months. They make a mean apple tini.
I'm warning you, Adam Mono. I'll pop you right back into your coffin.
Relax. You said the speedster girl was hired, right? Well, this bar is the go-to destination of specials for hire.
Specials for hire?
That's right.
Ooh, like the cantina. Never knew there was such a place.
Can we find out who hired the speedster?
Hello. That's why we're here. Just leave everything to me. Try and look tough.
Hero straightens his tie and spots Ando pushing out his chest.
Mr. Roboto.
He said look tough, not like Mr. Roboto.
This is my tough guy walk.
Barkeep! The usual. Make it snappy.
A stubbly, thuggish-looking brute turns to Adam from behind the bar.
Minos, how dare you come in here?
Look, I didn't know she was your wife. And for the record, she never mentioned it.
Minoshi leaps over the bar, Adam ducks, and Hero gets punched.
Hero, wake up. He's getting away. Blink, Hero, blink. Freeze time, or Adam Munro will be...
Adam looks up, but Minoshi and Adam are nowhere to be seen.
Gone.
What happened to Peter?
I put him in a medically induced coma.
What?
Your brother tried to kill me.
Why?
He took Siler's ability, and now he's suffering the consequences. We're in a lot of trouble, Nathan.
Angela stops.
Mom, it's Tracy Strauss. Tracy, my mom.
I know who she is and why she's come. I heard you saw Dr. Zimmerman.
How do you know Dr. Zimmerman?
He worked for the company many years ago in research and development. Very bright.
Then you understand what he did to me. You can help me.
No, I'm afraid that's not possible. His work was classified.
You want me to go public with this?
What are you hiding, Mom?
Angela hesitates before going on.
Zimmerman was instrumental in the company's development of synthetic abilities.
Synthetic?
We used the technology on a number of infants. You were one of them, Tracy, as were your sisters, Nikki and Barbara.
Angela looks at Nathan crouched over Peter's body.
And you, Nathan. We give you your ability to.
He slowly draws his gaze up to her. Nighttime, and Maya returns to Mohinder's lab. Cautiously, she makes her way through the curtains into the lab beyond. The drug dealer's cocoon to a wall. Maya spots blood on the trolley sheet and then sees Mark.
What have you done?
His eyes flash open. Maya glances towards the door and then moves a chair so she can tear the amber membrane imprisoning Mark.
I'm gonna get you out.
Mohinder returns. Maya stops. Next door, he makes his way over to a computer. The noise draws his attention, and he bursts into the back lab through the curtain. Having scanned the room, he's about to take a seat at a desk when he spots the chair over by Mark. On closer inspection, he notices some of the cocoon is torn. Alerted once more, Mohinder starts moving back through the lab, Myers hiding under the trolley with the white sheet in the middle of the room. As he gets closer, she grimaces and her eyes blacken. Mohinder doubles over.
Maya!
Mohinder looks round to see Mark's eyes have turned inky black as well as his.
I know you're in here.
He shoves an instrument tray aside and hurls the trolley across the room, revealing Maya.
You have to control your power. You don't want to be a killer again, do you?
She relents and their eyes return to normal. While Mohinder straightens up in relief, Maya gets to her feet.
What have you done? You're a monster.
I wish you hadn't said that.
He moves towards her. Hero to Ando.
I searched everywhere. Adam Monroe is gone.
Look harder. He must be somewhere.
As they move off along an alley, Adam rises from a large rubbish bin. He smiles, jumps out, and goes to escape. But Nox suddenly unleashes a vicious right hook, knocking him unconscious. Ando and Hero move away completely unaware. Nox opens the back of a van, hauls Adam in, and then makes a phone call.
It's done. What do you want me to do about the two Japanese guys?
So here, the testing, the experimentation, everything they did to us. It wasn't God.
We were trying to be better than God.
How? By using people as lab rats? Your own son.
Father was disappointed that you weren't born with the genetic code, but we thought because of your lineage, your system could handle it. And obviously, we were right.
Then what about me? My parents were dead. I had no one to protect me.
Tracy, what this company did to you in the name of science was wrong. We know that now. And that is why we divided the formula and hid it so this would never happen again.
An innocent man is dead because of what you did to me.
Help me, because someone has stolen the formula. They want to restart this project. They want to create a world filled with dangerous people, deadly, out of control. They will destroy everything. Please help me stop them.
Go to hell.
Nathan, it's why Peter took Silo's ability. It's why he sacrificed himself. He knows what's going to happen to this world. You do not understand.
Oh, I understand, Ma. I understand. You locked Peter up and put a shunt in his head. You did experiments on me. And God knows who else, Peter? Claire? Who else did you use as your own personal guinea pig?
Nathan, listen to me. Nathan
to Tracy in a corridor.
I'm sorry.
What's next?
I know a scientist. He understands all of this genetic stuff. If anybody can help you, he can.
Can he be trusted?
Suresh? Yeah, he's harmless.
Mohinder's busy adding Maya to his growing collection of wall cocoons. A deserted carousel.
Steven? It's Claire. I talked to my dad.
She spots Canfield slumped over in a carriage on the ride.
He said he's willing to listen.
It doesn't matter anymore.
What happened?
They never showed up. You were right, Claire. My wife. My kids. They're afraid of me.
He climbs down from the carousel and starts to leave. Claire follows. With tears in his eyes, he turns to her.
Maybe I am a monster.
Couldn't put it better.
Dad, what are you doing?
It's all right. We're just talking. I'll make you a deal, Stephen.
My partner is standing right over there by my car. You make him disappear, and this is all over.
I don't understand. You want me to kill your partner?
Sila frowns and looks over from the car some distance away.
Do it, and I'll let you go. I give you my word.
What are you saying? You do not have to do this.
Stay out of this, Claire.
She's right. I can't. I'm not a killer.
Maybe not. But he is, and he needs to be destroyed. Unfortunately, I can't do it.
Please, I just...
Not asking.
Dad, no!
I'm doing this for us, Claire. For what Siler did to you.
Canfield frowns.
You people... You've taken everything from me.
Do it. Kill him now!
With Bennett's gun to his head, Canfield shifts to face Siler, who starts approaching.
What are you doing?
I won't be a monster!
No!
The instant he opens a vortex at his side, it sucks him in, and he's gone. Hero comments dolefully as Ando pours himself a shot at the now empty bar.
Every hero hits a slump now and then.
Slump? Are you kidding? We're the worst heroes ever.
Don't talk to me like that, Ando.
First, we lost the formula. Then we lost the speedster. Then we lost Adam Monroe.
We've made mistakes, but we can't lose heart. The world's depending on us.
The world is screwed. At least it can't get any worse.
Hello, boys.
Nemesis.
So, my friend here tells me that you're looking for work. And I said, that's not possible. Those goody-two-shoes.
Hero eyes Daphne and Knox with skepticism.
We heard about what you are doing. Sign us up.
I'm not convinced.
We have changed. We are badasses now.
Yes, we are very badass.
When do we start?
Not so fast. You have to prove yourself worthy.
How do we do that?
You're the one with the powers?
Yes. I control time and space.
Cool.
Knox ignores Hero's mysterious wave of the hand and grabs a wall-mounted sword, which he brings back to the group.
Kill the other one.
Kill Ando?
Yeah, he has no powers. What good is he to us? You kill him, you are a badass.
Daphne looks uncertain, but Hero turns to face his friend, and Ando's eyes widen.
I'm sorry, my friend. I must make some sacrifices to save the world.
He plunges the sword into Ando's chest. A red stain yawns onto Ando's shirt. And he collapses to the floor. Bennett drives Claire through their quiet suburban neighborhood until they reach home.
We'll talk more when I come home, okay? Claire, wait. I know you're disappointed, but I did what I had to do for us.
She doesn't believe a word you're saying. She knows exactly what you did back there, why you didn't take down Stephen Canfield when you had the chance.
Nobody's talking to you.
Claire finally sees you for what you are, a user. Isn't that right, Claire? You used her to try to find that poor man, then you used him to try to kill me, because to you, I'm nothing but a monster. He doesn't see our humanity, Claire. He never will.
She climbs out, and Bennett follows.
You're not gonna listen to him, are you? The man's a deranged sociopath. He's a killer.
He's a monster.
Yes. And you are my daughter. And everything I do is to protect you. To protect this family. Tell me you understand that.
She frowns.
I understand.
He studies her sorrowful expression and hugs her to him.
It's all gonna be okay. I promise.
Mom.
Claire!
Thank God. I was so worried.
Are you okay? Because if you are, you are so grounded.
I'm sorry.
I'm just glad Meredith found you.
Meredith?
Enjoying your dinner, my dear.
Eat.
An anxious-looking Sandra is sitting opposite Eric Doyle with a candle-lit meal between them. They each put a forkful of food in their mouth and chew.
Now, give me a sweet kiss.
Go to hell, you filthy...
He pinches his fingers shut and her mouth does the same. They rise from their seats in unison, tilt their heads in opposition, and kiss. Then, as he sits, so does she, and she remains still until his next whim takes him. The room is surrounded by puppets and mannequins. Angela's reading by lamplight in a large study. Her eyelids become heavy, and she slowly drifts into sleep. She jolts awake, and moments later peers into a corridor cautiously. Passing through a set of double doors, she discovers Tracy sprawled on the floor, bleeding from a deep wound in her neck. Nathan slumped against a wall, a deep gash in his forehead. And before them both stands Peter, his hands covered in blood.
Peter, tell me you didn't do this. Please.
He collapses, revealing a pipe embedded in the back of his head. Angela wheels round.
Hello, Angela.
No. It can't be.
You can see the future. I can't have that. It's too dangerous.
You won't succeed. I'll stop you.
Don't be ridiculous. You won't even be able to move.
The unseen man rests a bloody hand on her shoulder. On one finger is an ornate silver ring with an image on it. Angela's transported to the study.
You won't even be able to move.
Her eyes look about, but she remains motionless at her desk. Daphne speeds to the Pinehurst offices. She looks about anxiously.
You're late. Have you completed your task?
They're on board. Even the Japanese guy. Look, I'm not happy about what happened. That's not what I signed up for. I'm not a killer.
Well, it's all part of making the world a better place, Daphne. No pain, no gain.
There's another one you're going to have to recruit. I'm afraid he's going to be the most difficult.
She takes the file from Lindemann and opens it.
Matt Parkman? What's his thing?
He has the ability to alter your mind. Put thoughts into your head. Make you see things that aren't there.
Speaking of which, I finally figured out what's been bugging me about you. I'm fast. Real fast. I can sneak up on everybody. But I can't sneak up on you.
Lindemann smirks and gets off the bench they were sitting on. She swipes. The file and her hand go right through him.
I knew it! You're not really there.
It's not your concern, Daphne. Just bring me Parkman.
She puts Parkman's file into her shoulder bag.
Guess I don't really have a choice, do I?
She starts to walk away from him, but then turns back, trying to catch him off guard. He's gone. She disappears in a blur, and Maury Parkman appears from behind a wall to watch her go. He then heads towards the Pinehurst building, which has a helix symbol monument in its forecourt. Maury enters a room where a doctor tends to a man lying in a carved wooden bed. He's hooked up to drips and monitors and has a ventilator in his neck.
The team is coming together nicely. Everything went fine. Perfect with Nathan. I messed with his head. Gave him visions of Lindemann, just like you asked. Now he thinks he's doing God's work.
Maury stands over the figure.
Yes. Very real. Daphne is spreading the word. We're building an army just like you.
He stopped suddenly.
Sorry. Knox called just a few minutes ago. He'll have Adam Monroe here by tomorrow. Right. Absolutely. Whatever you say goes, Mr. Petrelli.
The gray-haired Petrelli, who's wearing the ornate ring and resembles Nathan, fixes Maury with a stony glare. To be continued.